Come over, boys and girls. Come over closer. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. I see a couple of young faces here, so that's why I say that. Please come over a little bit closer, and hopefully when we get a little bit more noisier, and then people might see us and come over, because we are unfortunately competing in terms of our the schedule of the day with the GTLT update, so probably some people are over there in the main session. So please come over, I must thank you for coming over to the AP Rallo Showcase. This is an emerging, first of all, I am Charles Mock. I am the, you don't know me, or you know me. thank you for coming. I'm Charles Mock, the chair of AP Rallo. And it is, I believe, an emerging ICANN tradition for the Rallo at the location that where the ICANN meeting is held to have a showcase event to outreach to more people within the region and across regions. So that's why we have this showcase, AP Rallo Showcase. And it's especially important, I believe, to acknowledge and recognize the ALS organizations that are our members that make up really the groundwork of ICANN. And you might notice that our name is AP Rallo, but in fact it stands for, and I only found out recently, Asia, Australasia, Pacific Island, Regional and Large Organization. So it's definitely, I believe, the longest name among all the Rallos, and definitely one of the most diverse and geographically most widespread. And our work is among the most challenging because of the difference in culture, language, and time zones, and so on. We're probably the worst among all the Rallos. So today, with this showcase, we hope to tell you who we are, what we do. And we have keynotes from two speakers that are very representative of this region. We'll let them tell you about more about our work and also how AP Rallo gets started. And we will introduce our AP Rallo members, and some of them will come over to speak later on. And Rod hopefully will stop by anytime soon, and we'll let him insert himself into our schedule. So without further ado, let me introduce our first keynote speaker. He is really the pioneer of AP Rallo, Rajneesh Singh. He is now the Asia head of Internet Society, and he is, of course, the first chair of AP Rallo. I'm very happy to have a chance to follow his footsteps. So let me introduce Raj to come forward and give us the first keynote presentation. Raj.
I need to make an entry, so I have my entry. Right. I think Charles has been a bit too kind with his words. I certainly am not a pioneer. I think there are others here which I'll hopefully see, and there's at least one to my left here that I'll talk about. So I can't see the slides in front of me. Peeking. Right. So AP Rallo, past, present, and future. You know, it sort of excites me quite a bit that we finally being able to do a showcase type of event for AP Rallo. So what I'm going to actually talk about is how we all started up and all the pains we went through. And, you know, what also makes me happy is that some of the people who went through the pain with me and before me are right here, and they're still suffering, so, you know, which is great. I should also note that I am heavily underdressed, as you can see. When I walked into the room, I saw my friend Peng Hua. He was in a suit. I look across, I saw Charles, he was in a suit. Then I looked at myself in black jeans and an orange shirt. So my excuse is that I wanted to stand out so you couldn't miss me, you know. Bald head, fat guy with the orange shirt, so there we go. Right, so the first question I'd like to ask you guys is, does anyone know when AP Rallo was actually founded? When did we come into being? First answer. Say you have won a little prize. And the prize is courtesy of my sponsor, the Internet Society. That's right, in 2007. So if I... Oops, have I gone too far? Right. No, I've gone too far. I'm sorry. So when Charles sent out the invitation for this, I noticed that he sent a little note saying that there will be speeches by Dr. Ang and myself. And then he went on to say, we will have speeches by Rajneesh Singh, who was there when AP Rallo began. You know, and that sort of, you know, I had to take a moment and reflect. I said, hang on, I'm not that old. You know, I mean, normally we talk about when things began, you know, we talk about the windsurf sort of era. And this, and I am certainly, and no windsurf, as you can see. So it was interesting, and it allowed me a moment to reflect on, you know, what we went through. So that's why I decided to talk about, you know, how we actually founded and started up AP Rallo. So in March 2007, I made a little blog post on my blog. And what I said was, I've been to Bali too. The reason to that, and you know, if you're Australian, you know a song that we have back home by Red Gum. I did think I'd sing that for you, but I don't think you'd last very long in front of me if I started singing. So let me just quickly read what it says there. So I'll skip the first bit, and I say, after much discussion over a considerable length of time, there was light at the end of the tunnel with the establishment of AP Rallo. And I noticed, as Charles has said, back then I had a different definition of what AP Rallo stood for. He has explained what it actually means today. Part of ICANN's at-large advisory committee, we hope to sign off on the MOU and operating principles and finally get moving with the real work. There was an impressive turnout with 12 out of 13 ALSs present. I know that was pretty great because we actually had 12 of the ALSs in the room, which is quite significant because all along we'd been struggling with getting 4, 5, 6 people participating in the process. Anyway, long story short, 10 of those ALSs on that very day signed off on agreeing to the MOU and the operating principles, and then we went on from there. We also decided that we'd have a time frame for elections and that by March we'd hope to have the offices in place. So then I started trolling the current AP Rallo site to see what sort of information I could find. And I was a bit disappointed that some of the archival material is actually missing. So, yeah. It's orphaned, right. And, you know, I did spend some time trying to find the orphans, but they would not come to me. So, you know, so perhaps, you know, just as recognition of some of the people who contributed to this, you know, we should look at that. So what that basically tells you is that everything started in about 2006, and we went on from there. So now it would be remiss of me not to mention the people who actually contributed to this process. Kuwei is right here with me. Cheryl, of course. Izumi, I'm not sure if he's in the room or not. Hong Shui. I recall David Farah from New Zealand, Stafford Guest from Niue, Edmund, of course, from Hong Kong, Katie Karetiana Tairu from New Zealand. I don't know if I've missed a name, I apologize. You know, I'm not as young as anymore, so I've lost a few brain cells on the conference circuit. So we had our first elections in March 2007, and that was the team that came in place. As you can see, it was yours truly as the chair. We had Bilal Barham from Jordan as the vice chair and Edmund running the secretariat. We also had two ALEC representatives who got elected in. One was Izumi, of course, and the second one I'm pretty sure nearly everyone in the room knows because she went on to some great notoriety later on at ALEC, and that's, of course, is Cheryl. Round of applause, please. Thank you. We had our first face-to-face meeting in Hong Kong in July. So this was really, really good. In that picture, you can see Dr. Sir from Korea. You will see Charles Mok, who looks as young as ever. We have Tommy Matsumoto from Japan, who some of you may know as Grandpa Tommy. We have John Fong. And we have the bald guy, which is me. And I'm happy to say I was bald and fat back then. I am much the same today. So the good thing, of course, is that that big social networking site is really nice with me because they find it very easy to recognize my face now with all those things they've introduced. And, of course, on the right there, we have Cheryl that we all know. So this was the first physical meeting we had in Hong Kong, and we had a lot of fun. But again, of course, Charles and Edmund and others were there to help us along with that. So and we went on from there. One of the pains I had to go through, or we had to go through, was to actually explain to people what the heck all this AP Rallo thing is and what an ALS is. So back in those days, we did not really have staff support as such. So we had to knock up this little diagram and, you know, went through a painful process in itself. Of course, I see today's diagram is much more spiffy looking than what I could put together. So I prefer you use that, not what I put out. looking at ALSs today, we have 19, so which is great. We have 13 when we started. We have 19 now, and I think there's a few more just about to come through, maybe? Just coming through. So it's good to see that's growing. Now, I was going to talk a little bit about the future, but I know I am actually running over time. We started a bit late, so I'm not going to concentrate too much on the future because my good friend Peng Hua is going to talk about the future in any case, so I'll hand over most to him. However, what I will say is this, that it delighted me when my good friend Charles Mok got elected chair of AP Rallo. Charles and I go way back, and you know he's been a long-time co-conspirator with me in the region. So I'm very happy to see it in very capable hands, and of course we have a great team assisting him in the process. You know, I also it's good to see the .Asia folks also there supporting the process. And you know, what I'd like to see is for us to you know increase our diversity a bit more. We're a diverse region. There's a great diverse list of organizations there. However, you know, we still need to keep on going on with the process. You know, this apparently this GTLD thing is going to change a few things. You know, unfortunately, I don't think I can afford to apply for Dot Raj as things stand. So, if anyone wants to help out, you know, if I wore a hat, I'd pass it around. But you know, there we go. Make me happy. So I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to hand over to my good friend Peng Hua to talk a bit about what he sees as AP Rallo, what he's doing, what the future is. So thank you, Charles. I hope I haven't taken up too much time.
No. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Raj. And I'm still fiddling with the agenda, and I found out that actually, and I'll tell you that Peng Hua is going to be our final attraction. So hang on and don't go away. But in the meantime, I think we have some coffee and dumplings in the back. So help yourself. Let me now introduce a very important person that we would like to speak next. Who is Olivier Crippen LeBron. Our ALAC XCOM chair. I gotta get it right. We'll let him, obviously, our parent organization, to say a few words. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you. I'm not going to make a very long speech because the first thing is I haven't got any paper with me, and I like to keep it that way because, one, we always are short of time, and really it's not up to me to monopolize the discussion or monopolize the time here. I think it's really the ALSs and our keynote speakers. But I did want to say just a few words. I think this session is probably the one which I enjoy the most in all ICANN meetings. Why? Because it's the session where I actually learn about the people behind those acronyms, you know, the ELS and the RALO and the XCOM and all of that. Because ICANN is made up of people that actually come here, volunteers that actually come and spend their time, their valuable time, in being able to help the processes move along. During the last few meetings that we had, the few showcases that we had, I was thrilled to see what those at-large structures, what the people in those at-large structures were doing. Because we have to remember, what is being done here in ICANN by those volunteers is not their day job. And the diversity that we have in at-large is totally incredible. From one edge of the spectrum to the other edge, there are sometimes activities that I've never even believed that people would be indulging in, whilst at the same time being involved in the ICANN at-large processes. So, I think I shouldn't just ramble on. I think I should just say that I'd like to hear from the at-large structures now. And so thank you for all coming, and I hope that you will enjoy seeing what all of at-large is doing, what the ALSs in Asia are doing. And as Charles very well said, and Rajneesh Singh also said, the breadth of experiences in Asia and the diversity that is in this region is totally incredible, both geographically but also culturally. And to have a region that is able to function and is able to stay up all night as well because of the fact that most meetings do take place in European and US hours, and perhaps there will be some voices here to change that, is just incredible. And the fact that they're able to stay awake during the day is great as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Olivier. Let us now turn over the time over to our ALS members, the most important part of our organization. Let us first start with the ALS from China. And also, I must introduce Hong Su, who was our previous chair of AP Rado, the outstanding chair of AP Rado that I had to succeed. And let us give a round of applause to Hong. And she'll tell us a little bit about she and the other ALS representatives after her will say a few words about their organizations to give you a snapshot of the kind of members that we have and what they do back in their own countries or regions. So, Hong, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm thrilled to be here and as one of the oldest members of AP Relo. My organization my organization is youngest is right here. Next generation. It's Chinese Domain Names Users Alliance. It's one of the IDN at large structure certified by ICANN. It was established in 2008, end of it. And certified in 2009. The CDNUA is working very closely with all the top-level registries in the Chinese-speaking community and through the CDNC. Oh, well, it means Chinese Domain Name Consortiums, which is making technologies and the policy decisions. We are a well-established language community about IDN development. And secondly, we're working very closely with the research community, academic in Chinese-speaking community, especially with the Institute of Internet Policy and Law in Beijing Normal University. We're going to launch a new training program on internet governance. It's called Asia Pacific Internet Leadership Program, a PILP, in July in Beijing. It will be the very first one in Asia Pacific region to train the leaders on internet governance arena, especially from this region. Thank you very much. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Hong. Let me introduce our next speaker, who is the representative from ISONG India Chennai, Mr. Siva Muthusamy.
Thank you.
We applied to be an at-large structure as an ISOC chapter. This was in 2008, and we got approved. As an ISOC chapter, we today have about 400 members. Over half of them are new. And out of the members who have become part of ISOC, we have given them an option to join that large structure, and about 100 have opted to be part of that large structure. So we, as an ISOC chapter and at large structure, we've had four events in the past. One, we had a talk by Dr. Steve Crocker. That was in 2008. And we had an event for the bloggers in an university. And then we organized the IGF Remote Participation Hub last year. And this year, we are organizing an IPv6 workshop jointly with APNIC and a seminar which will be chaired by Olivier Crippen-Leblond and Sebastian Bachelet, who will come down to Chennai for this event. And we participate in ICANN meetings, and mostly I have represented so far, and the diversity of participation is to be expanded. And we hope to bring in a structure to that at large. We want to take up more outreach activities and take better part in ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Siva. Let us next introduce and welcome our next ALS member to speak, who is from Taiwan, Mr. Guo Wei Wu, who is also our board member. But he promised that he will not be speaking in Putonghua now today because we don't have simultaneous interpretation. Yeah, and because people say his Putonghua has an accent. Now I'll let him explain that. So Guo Wei, you're going to introduce your ALS for us. Thank you.
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I get used to using the Chinese to talk right now since this morning, you know. So if you don't have a microphone, you had better ask the nearby the Chinese to help you to make a translation. Well, that's a joking. Okay. First of all, I think the NIEPA actually the first time to apply the ALS in the ICANN is I think at the time it's ICANN in the KL meeting. I still remember there's a gold horse palace somewhere like that. You know, so that's back to maybe 2005. And I think NIEPA, I think, might be the third one or fourth one to get approved to be the ALS under the ICANN. And but unfortunately, I was an ICANN board, but I didn't go through the ALOG, you know. Hopefully, sometime and someday I can get your support and get into the ICANN board through the, you know, ABUR. Okay. Okay, and then the next one I'd like to share with you a little bit for what I see the role or the function of the RALO should be. I think first of all, I was really strong suggest you, particularly a lot of young generation is here. The RALO, you had better to represent the individual, the end user, because we need end user voices. You know, because in here, we might be hear a lot of industry, we hear the government voices, we hear the, you know, the civic society, but we really like to hear what is the end user's opinion in this internet governance. You know, maybe internet governance is a little bit too far away for you, but it's very unfortunately, you know, I was invited by Peng Hua, Emin go to the Nanyang University to meet those of 20 youngs. I really, really surprised. They are really nice and they are really bright and to begin to think about the issue. So I'm very happy to do that. And second of all, I'd like to be careful, I have a whole list. second of all, I'd like to say another thing is, you know, the AP RALO, I think we always need to know we like to voice the Asia Pacific region, including the Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland, because we include almost 56 countries. You know, the only way can make this AP RALO really running, I think we need a cruise. You know, we need a cruise go around, you know. So there's a much, yeah, all right. Maybe next time we can AB RALO on the cruise, okay? And so that is very important is that we must have a consensus from the Asia Pacific point of view instead of, you know, just listen to the, you know, American, European, or something like that. I think the Asian voice should be said. And don't forget it. You know, who started IDN from AP RALO in from the Asia Pacific region? You know, if you remember when the IDN be started, actually it's Singapore, you know. And actually, if you go to the IETF, the IFC, the IDN, the IFC, all the three authors is, you know, in Asia. One is a Japanese, Konishi-san. The second one actually is from Taiwan, Kenny Huang. The third one actually from China is Chen Hua Ling. So I think we should be proud of it. If anybody can enjoy the IDN, they should thank Asia Pacific contributions. So I think that's my talk, and looking for, you know, the AB RALO continue to expand, and hopefully we can have more opportunity to share the experience with each other, because we have people in the Arabic, we have people in the India, we have people in the island, we have people in the North Asia, South Asia, and all places. And of course, we cannot forget about New Zealand, Australia. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Galway. And next, ALS, to give us a few words about his region and his organization, is Andrew Molifure from PIG ISOC. And to give you a bit of diversity, we have also a big representation of Pacific Island countries. So I'll let Andrew take over the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this afternoon. My organization, as you said, is the Pacific Islands chapter of the Internet Society. I believe we have been part of this organization, the Aperalo, for a number of years, although I'm not directly involved in the in this group. My other colleagues have been involved. This is my first time to be in ICANN and be in this sort of situation. And I'm very happy that I got to meet a few people who are involved with Aperalo. So although we might not have been actively participating in this direction, we have other activities in our region that we do. Like in annual basis, we run INET programs. That is one of the biggest IT conference in the region, and we include a lot of things. And what I would say is that going back from here, I will look forward to sort of be more active in the work of Aperalo. And I'm looking forward to getting more involved. We have very organized group in our region within each country that we can tap in and make them their voices heard to ICANN. The grouping is not a problem. It's not only the awareness that is the problem. So I think that's where we're going to go in the next direction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Next up, let's have Edmund Chong from ISOP Hong Kong, my organization. Edmund is our vice chairman, and he's actually also the ALEC, the Aperalo representative to the ALEC XCOM, to come and say a few words about ISOP Hong Kong. Edmund?
Thank you, Charles. And actually, you know, a lot of people here might know me from Dot Asia, but I want to remind everyone that before I was with the GNSO, the evil side of the good side of everything. The other side, as corrected. I've always been participating at ALAC, and the photo that Raj just put up really brings back a lot of memories. Actually, I think even before that, there are the preparatory meetings starting all the way back. I don't even remember when. And I'm really excited that, you know, Aperalo is working well, and you know it's starting to work well, and especially with the another project that I'm really personally very proud of, the NetMission kids that are looking to join Aperalo, and I think they are probably voted and they're in. So I think they are probably the youngest ALS in terms of average age, and I think that's a big achievement for the Asia Pacific region as well. In terms of ISOC Hong Kong, we obviously is a chapter of the Internet Society. We ourselves work on a lot of internet governance issues, as well as security and privacy issues about the internet. And recently we hosted the Asia Pacific what's called the Apricot meetings in Hong Kong, one of the biggest internet events in Asia. And we're working very hard right now to try to get ICANN to come to Hong Kong after coming to Singapore twice. So we will need your help and support for that as well. So in terms of ISOC Hong Kong, I think we have been working on different items, and one of the things that I'd like to introduce, I invite all of you to come as well to the DNS abuse session that is happening after this. Where ISOC Hong Kong, well, I'll also be wearing ISOC Hong Kong hat to participate and talk about some of the security and privacy issues that we have worked on in the last few years. So, thank you.
Thank you, Edmund. Next up, let us have our, like Edmund said, the youngest, the newest, and the average age, in terms of average age, the youngest organization or ALS organizations within our membership who just been approved to join us. Richard, Richard Chang of Net Mission Ambassadors. Let us give him a round of applause for our young man. Come on.
Thank you. All right, so I should be having a PowerPoint here. Okay, so we are the youngest people here, but I'm not the youngest one here because I just saw a baby climbing there. And then we have, like, our age is surrounding, like, 22 to the lowest one is 14-year-old. And we are, like, the youngest participant of ICANN here. And then let me share with you what our netmission.asia is. Okay, can I have the next slide? All right, so what is NetMission? We are having three aims. The first aim is to solve the digital inclusion, which we call it is like digital divide. But we are solving the digital divide from the perspective of young people. And then the second NetMission is to raise the awareness of the public, and especially the young people, of internet issues. And then the last NetMission, and most importantly, is to make the internet a better place for young people and also the world. Why we are so special? Well, we are young, and then yep, and then we are the most inexperienced people here, but we are the bravest people here because we have nothing to lose. We are very special because we are actually the accents of many cooperation between many organizations. DotAsia, ISOC Hong Kong, all the universities in Hong Kong, and even some international organizations. Through their cooperation, but we are using the bottom-up approach. We are using their resources, all their resources, but we can make our own decision. That's the most special part of NetMission.Asia. And we are trying to spread the spirit of bottom-up approach from the internet to the real life. And the role so far, we've achieved a lot of stuff already. And the first thing we achieved is actually the community project we've been done. We divided our ambassador into four groups: the kids, the youth, the elderly, and also the housewives. We organize our own, and we initiate our own projects to tackle with digital device in those kind of people. And after that, if you are like a kid, we actually using games to tell you how to use the internet. If you are youth, you are young people, you have the conflicts with your family, we are actually paying a home visit to talk to you with your mom so that you guys can understand why you guys have the conflicts, and then we can resolve and improve the relationship of a family households. And the next thing we achieved is actually another bottom-up approach that we adopted, that we are not going to use the Internet Explorer, but we are going to influence the world from the roots of the internet, that is this kind of organization. We believe that starting bringing young people to the roots of the internet is going to maximize the influence of the community projects that we've been working on. And last but not least is about the YIGF. It's the week ago, it's like several days ago, just finished in Singapore, in NTU, just the west side of Singapore. We successfully invited a lot of guests, inspiring figures, such as like Peng Hua there, and also Guo Wei, just spoken, and also Marcus Kummer, the previous IGF executive, or I forgot, but the top person in the IGF, the previous, now the vice president. He is the IGF. We invited the IGF to YIGF then. Okay. But what's so special of YIGF is that we can be innovative after joining those kind of international conference, because after the IGF in Egypt, some of the ambassadors think that, well, why there are no youth, why so few young people in IGF? Why not we invented our own version of IGF? And Emma is even more creative, that we are trying to create an elderly version of IGF in Hong Kong. So we are not sure if there is an elderly version of NetMission yet, but I'm not sure if Emma can think about it. We are so honored to be the youngest ALS member of AP Rallo, and then please look forward to our future net mission and our activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. That means that this organization, this group of young people, they need to keep themselves young. So that means you're going to have a lot to have the challenge of attracting a lot more new younger members continuously. Now, I also hope that in future, probably this kind of project can be repeated in other Asian countries and that would and regions. That would be a great thing for the future of the internet as well. So next, before we turn over to our next keynote speakers, I want to quickly introduce James Sang, the other AP Rallo representative to the ALS XCOM to say a few words for us. James, please.
Hello. So I'm a bit unique, unlike the rest. I'm a non-com appointee to ALAC and APRO. So I do not have a ALS that supports me in the, well, kind of. But I've been active in Asia for many years, for over 12 years now. Actually, more than that. I started in 1992. But I've always been Asian. I've been working on Apricot, the very first Apricot in Singapore in 1996, and then, of course, ICANN in 1999, and so on and so forth. But because Singapore is very small, we don't really have a lot of organization that needs, you know, that net mission. And I'm now serving at ALAC as well as APRO, contributing some of my experience in the internationalization domain names arena. I do want to say a few words. I'm very pleased to see a lot of ALSs, especially young people in the community that's really interested in ICANN as well as the internet community in Asia. It's very important that the young people continue to engage with the community, with the internet development, as we move on, as we have more challenges in the coming times. ICANN is going through a very difficult challenge at this moment with the introduction of new GTLD, with the changings of dynamics between the balance of user base from the North America to the Asia. So we will become more and more important. So I encourage all the young people to spend more time to learn from the expert, the elders around you. Learn more from them because you are the next generation. You are going to take over from us someday. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Thank you, James. We have, like I think Guo Wei mentioned, we have over 50 countries in Asia, and we have currently just over 20 ALSs, and some from the same country. So that means we do have a long way to go in order that we have at least a representative ALS from each country. So I do hope that if you can help us spread the word around and get more of your home country's organizations to join AP Rallo as an ALS. For the members who are here, there are actually, I mean, we have six ALS introducing themselves just now, but we have more. We have more among people that are among the attendees of ICANN this time. I saw Australia, for example, New Zealand. I saw Keith out there somewhere a while ago before the start of this session. And so there are others, but we definitely need more. And for you to find out at least what we are doing, the ALS members are currently doing, please go to look at the boards on the two sides that have a little bit of introduction about the current ALS. Do take a look at that. And before we turn to our final, and don't leave because we still have our very important keynotes to finish off the event. But before that, let me quickly introduce Sebastian Bachelet, who is the, I have to get it right, the ALAC representative on the ICANN board. Yeah, okay, correct me. Correctly, I was wrong.
Thank you.
I would like very much to represent you, but I am not allowed. And I try to represent myself, but yes, I was elected through a process where you participate. What it's a landmark, this meeting, because we are closing loops First one, it's that the first meeting of ICANN was in Singapore. We have come back to Singapore. The second reason is because we closed the loop of the program for new GTLD, at least to prepare the launch. Now the work will have to start to have real project. But and another reason is that we will change chair of the ICANN board because Peter Dunkett Rush is ending his term here in Singapore. But more importantly, from my point of view, it's the loop of this type of event. Because the first one was set up by the African region, and we are coming back to Africa in the next meeting, then you are closing this loop. And that's, I think both the first one and the last one are maybe the more important. The first one is because they set up the idea and how to do that, and you because you close it with much more ideas that the next one will have to follow. For example, I think I am very happy to be there with so young people, and I hope that you will have brother and sister in other country, not just in Asia. Please help the world to have your type of organization, brother and sister organization in other country. And I know that Edmund is keen to help the young in other country in this region. Spread the word around the world, please. And yes, of course, I can't speak on your behalf, but I am sure that you are doing a so good job as the at-large and with ALAC and with the people who lead this part of the organization, of the ICANN organization, that you will not need any representation to the board because your voice will be heard by the overall community. You are the end user. You must be heard, and I am sure that you will do that as you already done that. Thank you very much, and have a good meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Sebastian. Last but not least, let us welcome our other and the local keynote speaker from Singapore, Dr. Peng Hua Ang. Dr. Ang is the professor of communications from Nanyang Technical University, and he is also the pro tem chair of Internet Society Singapore, and that has just joined the Internet Society family. And I also obviously would invite Dr. Ang and his organization to join AP Rallo very soon. Let us please give a round of applause to Dr. Ang.
Wow, there's so much build-up that I want to hear myself also, you know. Okay, this is called pressure. I didn't know what to expect from an AP Art Rallo meeting, so I gave what I thought would be a fairly sort of generic presentation, but then also somewhat heavy. So you pardon me if that seems a little heavy. Okay, my first question is, where is AP? Okay, and this one says official. This is 70 nations. Okay, more sub-regions than any other RALO, and it's based on the migratory area of birds. So therefore, environmentally very friendly map of Asia-Pacific. Okay, so this is where the birds consider the Asia-Pacific region. Because if you consider Asia-Pacific, you also consider South America and North America. Then you cover everybody already, right? So not fair. You must have some limits. So we will follow the birds. Okay, but the thing to note is that the number that I think everyone is talking about how you know Asia Pacific is big in terms Asia certainly is big in terms of the internet users, and you can look at this map. It says current as of March this year, and we are twice as big as the next player, Europe. We are three times North America, four times Latin America, almost 10 times Africa. So in terms of participation, big. That's why we need a big long name. I mean, you know. Okay, so I thought it would be interesting to talk about what Asia has contributed. I think James Singh, sorry, I mean, you know, when you get old, you talk about history. So, I mean, you know, you guys, we do this all the time, right? So what has Asia contributed? So I thought some points, okay, worth thinking about. On the hardware side, netbooks that I see some of you using, sort of been overtaken by iPad, it seems, or the tablet. It seems to be maybe overtaken. But, you know, these things are trends. We never know. But mobile access started in Japan in a very big way. So whatever you're seeing in mobile access is has happened before in Japan. On the soft side, okay, censorship laws, South Korea was first, Singapore soon after, very soon. But other countries too played a part. But I thought I should highlight that when countries talk about censorship, they also consider other aspects because they tend to look on law as a whole. So some of the laws, what you might call enabling provisions, also came from Asia, right? Singapore was one of the first on intermediary immunity, and then other countries have done similar things. I'm wondering about whether in Asia we have missed opportunities. We just concluded this thing called the Asia-Pacific Regional IGF, and there were some interesting facts that were, well, trivia you could say that came out. I thought it's interesting to note, this is from our friend Subaya, talking about the IDNS. Okay, so when it was launched in China, China had 1 million IDN sites. Okay, it was unsustainable because the fees were too low, 10 cents or thereabouts per site. That's not sustainable. But the point is that China then had a fifth, or you can count a sixth, of all the sites in the world. Had it continued, what would the internet be like? How would the internet have been different if Asia had one-sixth of all the world's domain names? How would it be different? But now we're seeing 100 million domain sites, and then there are fewer than 100,000 Chinese sites. So there is a difference there. So is that an opportunity that's lost? Okay. What about gaming? Because in Asia, we are very big on gaming. Okay. I don't even want to put up the slides, but in terms of gaming, we have this massively multiplayer online role-playing games. It seems to be a communal thing. It seems more in Korea, for example, in a very big way. China, we are seeing clans. My own daughter plays a group of about 9 other boys. They meet regularly face-to-face also. Okay. And then there's something that that seems to be really unusual. I wonder if you can click. You can click the URL. You can click that. This thing called a Taobao village in China. It's, think of it as eBay, but think of it as a village that is wrapped around eBay. And we are seeing some of this in China. Are these models for development of the internet in China? And then for the rest of the world. So some potential upside. I don't know, just want to see it for... you have 2 minutes. You can play it. You can play it. Okay, maybe we come to it then at the end. We'll come back to it. Okay. The downsides, you know, I'm academic. We always discuss both sides. On one hand, on the other hand, on the other hand, on the other hand. Right? Four hands. We have cyber addiction. I know that some people don't want to mention that word, but it seems to be pretty serious, more so in Asia. I mentioned that than other parts of the world. And some people say that because in Asia, we have high broadband penetration, and we seem to lack physical activities. We don't do that much sports compared with, for example, say Australia. I know people do sports, maybe USA in a bigger way. So is this a phenomenon that we should be really much more concerned about? So I would say that there seems to be areas of particular salience in for the Asia-Pacific. I want to end on this rather heavy note. This is an American, Albert Hirschman, okay, Exit, Voice, and Loyalty. He talks about how you can have three responses to, okay, this is may not apply here, to a declining institution. Do you escape? Do you try and say something? Or you just sort of hang on and, you know, and go with it? Okay, and so I want to put up here this slide to show you why it's important that we meet and talk. So this was kind of a message to, I thought, you know, AP Rallo folks, but you all are, I'm singing to the choir, you guys are believers already, right? I see Marcos there, yeah, you know, sure, we should be talking more. Under what situation do you get out? Okay, so if you look at the no side, okay, you can't get out if you're a family. Okay, or you're in a one-party totalitarian system, you cannot get out. You cannot have to stick onto it. So therefore, we are in a yes category. We are voluntary association. Under what situation will you talk? Okay, well, if you are in a very competitive situation, there's no point talking. You have no influence. You won't bother to talk. I think we are in a yes situation because I think that what we say makes a difference. I think we have a responsive organization. ICANN wants to be responsive, tries to be, and so there's some reason to meet and talk. Okay. And then, my final slide for our context. Will we exit or will we voice? Okay. So if the organization, the vertical column, okay, is sensitive to voice, it's a public enterprise, okay, subject to competition, well, okay, there's no competition here, but this is a public enterprise, all right, ICANN is. And so are we. ISOC is a public enterprise, you know, we are involved in it. When do we voice, okay? We voice if you are allowed to speak, okay? And in the case of if you look at the top right box, okay, the dissent is institutionalized, okay? But if you are democratic, and ICANN is, ISOC is, okay, then we speak and we expect a positive outcome, okay? And so I'll just wrap up to say that we are in a very happy situation. We are in the bottom right-hand corner where the organization is sensitive to our voice. And I think that we want to speak. I'm very encouraged that young people who are here, that Edmund has brought along, they are future generation. And I think that it augurs well for us in Asia Pacific. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ping Hua. And you see him again at 4 o'clock at the DNS Abuse Forum, so do join that session if you're interested. I'll just close this session, this AP Rallo showcase, that the first time for AP Rallo, and I hope we'll do it again. Thanks, of course, to all of you who came. And in particular, I want to also thank the staff that really helped, ICANN staff that helped us put it together. Matt, Seth, and Gisela in particular. And also, yeah, give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thanks to their effort over the last couple of months, and also Pafin, who has been co-chairing our working group to put it all together, and we had all these meetings every week for the last couple of months. Now, I'll just declare this closed, but do stay around if you want to grab a cup of coffee and a little bit of dumpling. For those of those speakers and ALS representatives who are still around, if you can come over, maybe we'll have a group photo right now. Come on. All our ALS members and our speakers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And can I also say that we hope to see you at ICANN Hong Kong very soon.
Oh. it's been decided.
You've got to be the chairman. You've got to be the ICANN chairman.
Come on in, Raj. Come on, you're a member of PIC ISOC still. In front? But I look better behind it.
No, that's not true, Cheryl.
Come on, in front of the podium. In front of the podium. Come on, Andrew.
It's a microphone. Yeah.